Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 50, episode 3 of
The Daily Zeitgeist
for Wednesday, September 26, 2018. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Woke up this morning, got Jack O'Brien.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Courtesy of Hannah Soltis. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Give me the microphone first so I could bust like a bubble. Jacko and Miles Gray together, now you know you in trouble. Ain't nothing but a Zeit Gang, baby. Two podcast hosts going crazy. Stuff Media's the label that pays me. Unfadable, so please don't try to fade this.
Now, back to the AKA credit for this. Goes to at Johnny Pompey. Thank you for that one. You know how we do on the West Side. So, yeah, that was all getting into the show.
Tupac has the host going crazy? What was that?
What?
Tupac
no,
has?
Two podcast hosts.
Two podcast hosts. We were just talking about Tupac, and I've got Tupac on the brain.
Yeah, you do.
You know me. Well, we are thrilled to be joined by the very funny writer and performer. You know him from Broad City. He is also the co-host of the You're Making It Worse podcast. We're thrilled to have Elliot Glazer.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here, man.
My pleasure.
We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, but first, we're going to tell our listeners the ridiculous shit we're going to be talking about today, such as Lil Xan eating so many hot Cheetos he has to go to the hospital, Chick-fil-A graciously giving an old man free food for life on his 100th birthday, so that'll be like another couple months. Republicans ventured out of their bubble. Ted Cruz and Heidi went to a restaurant, and that didn't go well. The UN did not treat the president all that well when he showed up and just started doing his Trump jazz. Bill Cosby, Dr. Cos, got 3 to 10 years and laughed for some reason.
He did?
Yeah. He laughed when his sentence was announced, and his spokesperson decided to loop Brett Kavanaugh in. I'm sure Judge Kavanaugh was psyched about that. So we're going to talk about that, as well as Brett Kavanaugh's interview on Fox News, where he came off as like a virgin robot type thing.
Yeah, the virgin robot defense.
No way he's a sex crim. And Avenatti is claiming he's got clients, so we'll talk about that. We're also going to mention the fact that the opioid crisis can be seen as part of a 40-year trend of drug overdose deaths. And Mark Zuckerberg, he's causing problems for his company again, and not in the ways that ruin our democracy. We're going to talk about Little Baby Bum, which is a media company-ish that I've just become acquainted with. over the past 2 years having kids. And
Little Baby Bum?
Little Baby Bum. Yeah, they make so many videos on YouTube that are very, very popular. Like you look and you think it says like they have 2 million views. They have 2 billion views. Like their videos are just insanely popular.
Cool.
Yeah, real cool. So we're going to talk about that and other things. But first, Elliot, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, I was recently looking up Jeremy Renner's song. Okay. Jeremy Renner, the actor, released a song. I forget what the name is. That's all I searched was Jeremy Renner's song.
Uh-huh.
I heard about this on another podcast where he was where he as a actor, I guess, also does music now. I'm just fascinated by him in general.
Not as a home flipper, he does music, but as an actor, he does music.
But he is a home flipper.
Right. I just didn't know which Jeremy Renner.
Exactly.
That's
why I'm so fascinated by it, because it's like, which Jeremy Renner are we going to get? And he created like an EDM song and performed it, and I saw it on Instagram and had to like look it up on the web. And
was it good?
No.
You're being so charitable. I feel like you want to say this so much more. Like, it's not great.
No, it's just. But I think in a large, for me, like from a larger cultural, you know, viewpoint, I want to understand what Jeremy Renner is as a what is a Jeremy Renner? What is this?
Yeah. So good in The Town, and yet he seems so strange.
So strange, and like, when I was doing research, it said he lives with his business partner.
Yeah.
Which is like, what?
There's an interview with him. I forget which magazine it is, but it is so strange. It's the one where he reveals that he's like all about flipping homes and has made like insane money. But he also talks about like...
Oh, wait, that wasn't a joke?
No.
I thought y'all were doing a bit. No. He is a house flipper.
Yeah, yes. That's like his jam in his downtime. And he also
writing music.
He also says like he's never been in a fight, but then like, yeah, sure, I like choked somebody out once or twice.
He also has an app. Yeah. I don't know if it's still active, but there's a Jeremy Renner app.
Uh-huh.
Again, just furthering the mystery
and mirage. Jeremy Renner is a weird
dude. Wait, with every layer you're adding, now I'm like,
I know
what I'm doing after this. I'm going down a Jeremy Renner fucking black hole.
I think that's why it's interesting, is because if you weren't to think about him for more than a second, you would never think about Jeremy Renner. He seems like a very benign, action-esque actor. And then when you find out he flips houses, it's like, okay. And then you find out that he lives with his business partner, and you're like, okay. And then he writes music, and you're like, why?
And then EDM, and you're like,
it's a mirage. You know, I want to peel the onion and see what's at the center.
My first inkling I got was my mom. She votes in the Golden Globe, so like sometimes she gets like Christmas cards from people who are in nominated films.
Right.
And I think right after The Hurt Locker or something, he sent a Christmas card. And it was him just wearing like a fleece jacket, standing in front of a clock.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, Merry Christmas from Jeremy Renner.
Oh, brother.
And it was so off. It was like, yo, there's nothing festive about this.
No.
In front of a clock.
Yo, his home wasn't decorated. It was like a clock in his home, but like clearly like his interior designer was like, Jeremy, this is like the sickest gigantic face wall clock you could have.
Right.
And he's just like wearing fleece, just like. His face isn't even smiling. It's like,
Merry Christmas Jeremy Renner.
Wow.
It's a very
house flipper. Yeah, now that I read it, I didn't realize he debuted a song at the Life is Beautiful Festival in Vegas over the weekend.
Right.
So, cool.
Also, what is the Life is Beautiful Festival?
Just a huge music festival.
It's like an EDM thing?
I think, no, all kinds of artists played. I think, who played at the very end? I think Arcade Fire? Did Arcade Fire play at the very end?
It was Roberto Benigni.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Roberto Benigni headlining.
Yeah, Arcade Fire was like the closer. So it's like it's a big mix of different artists. But this footage of him on stage, what is a Jeremy
Renner?
What
is a Jeremy Renner? And also, like, who is at the music festival like, yes!
Yeah.
Right?
Jeremy Renner, yes!
What was his app? It was...
I guess it was...
It was called Jeremy Renner. Yeah.
Dude, do you know what the name of the song was?
Jeremy Renner?
No, yeah, this is the track. It was Heaven, and then for the parenthetical, Don't Have a Name.
Heaven Don't Have a Name. That's right. That's what it was when I looked it up, and it was not good.
Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated?
I think that as a huge Golden Girls fan, I will say that Estelle Getty is the overrated Golden Girl.
Wow.
An unpopular decision by many.
Really?
Sophia, yes, because...
Just because she was the oldest?
No. I think she was the, how do I put this? she was the easiest laugh.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. However, that veers into my underrated category, which is Rue McClanahan.
I was going to say, okay, yep.
And she was sort of like, oh, she gets sort of written off as like the funny, sassy, sexy one.
Right. Right.
When in actuality, she, from my opinion, as like a comedian and comedy writer, I find watching her to be, you know, as an obsessive viewer who's watched every episode an unhealthy amount of times, watching her, I always feel like I'm getting new nuances from her.
Yeah.
Stuff that just impresses me, you know?
Yeah.
And Estelle Getty, I mean, you know, bless her heart, but like sometimes a line, even in a final cut of the show that has lasted for decades, still I'm like, you said it wrong. You said it wrong. How did you say that wrong? It's just strange.
Yeah.
But of course, I love her and may she rest in peace. But Rue McClanahan really, I think she.
Rue McClanahan passed away too, didn't she?
She did pass away. Yeah.
Isn't Betty White's the only living?
Betty White is alive and. Well, I thought, and then they played a clip of her on the Emmys on a radio show I was listening to, and it was a rough
She'll
go.
Outlive us all. Don't
she
worry
will,
about
she
it.
Will. She'll be here forever. But yeah, that so my underrated is Rue, my overrated is Estelle.
Mm-hmm.
Rue played, was it Blanche?
Blanche Devereaux, yeah.
Blanche Devereaux, yeah. Very rich character.
I remember my first memory, I think, as a kid watching Golden Girls, I always remember her being the oldest, and me, I think what you mean, the easiest laugh was I was able to laugh because, like, she's the oldest one. So I just, the little relationships I could pull out from, like, my 7-year old mind, I was like, she's like the old one.
Right. And I'm like, she's the old one, and she says the dirtiest things, or she has the sassiest lines, and it's great, but
she's
it's
like
no
a
Rue.
Then tiny
she
was insult comic.
And then she was a stop or my mom will shoot.
Stop or my mom will shoot.
Right. And then I was like, wait, that's the from Golden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. It's all coming together.
Yeah. What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Oh, I know that the myth that CrossFit is dangerous is not necessarily untrue, but it's a myth that's been perpetuated without understanding that I used to do CrossFit. I don't do it anymore. But people will be like, oh, did you quit because you got, you know, an injury or
your
something
arm fell off.
And honestly, like I quit the first time because I got a horrible injury. Horrible.
Oh, wow.
Horrible. And then when I got back into it, it was at they call it a box. I'm rolling my eyes, but it's called a CrossFit school. It's called like a box.
Ugh.
I know. But I went to a box where the instructors were like so human and normal and like it wasn't at all culty. And they were really instrumental in putting together a regimen for me that didn't like nobody at this place ever got injured.
Right.
And I always respected that and appreciated that because they were, it made me realize that like it really does depend on which, whatever school you go to do that type of fitness, it's always completely subjective as to who's teaching you and who understands that like, the human body is like, you know, has its limits.
Right.
And you know, the place that I went to, I used to go to one in New York and I destroyed my back doing a deadlift. And the like instructor was like, push through it, man. Push through it.
Holy shit.
You push through the pain, baby. And I was like, okay. And then I went to an orthopedist and he was like, you have a lower disc injury. Your arm is fucked. Like,
wow.
Can I curse?
Yeah.
It was nuts. But with that being said, you know.
Come on, Elliot. Just push through it, man.
Elliot.
Hey, your back's looking lumpy, but it's all good.
And they use like felled trees and shit for like their workout.
Felled? What's a felled tree?
Like a tree trunk, or like I feel
they
use
tires,
like tires and like stuff you'd just like find around.
Right. It's a very utilitarian kind of. It's got this sort of like steampunk-esque vibe
to it that is
very obnoxious to people who aren't doing it.
What is the other slang? I like that you call it a box. Like, yo, which box you at? Box you train at?
Yeah, it's are there other reason that people are like, oh, CrossFit.
Well, it's funny because I feel like I know people that do it, but I've never heard the slang. And I haven't, I mean, I always suspected or I've heard the thing that people get injured, but I just realized that's just because the people who are working there are probably not.
That's literally
like,
it.
Know your limits though, too. This is CrossFit, but also
it's no more complicated than that. It's like, if you go to a place where the teachers are good and understand limits and don't push you in an unhealthy way, then you're at a great place.
Right.
If you go to a place where they're like, push through it, man, it's like, you got to get the fuck out of there.
Right.
So some places you think they just scream at people?
It's not really that.
It's a positive thing still.
Yeah. I mean, there's that drill sergeant vibe, but not at the place that I would go.
Right.
And if the place had that kind of vibe, I would never stand for that.
Right.
I like personally, I liked the individuality of that type of fitness. But now I just do like regular gym stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Regular gym stuff. Well, from talking about fitness to maybe the least fit human being in America.
Well, we don't know that.
We don't know, but Lil Xan had to be hospitalized because he ate too many hot Cheetos. It burned a hole in his stomach lining, is what he told fans.
Or, yeah, he said something ripped in my stomach
Something in my stomach.
And he's like, so I puked blood, so we good.
Those two sentences rarely go together. So I puked a little blood, so we good.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. You know, Lil Xan, Xanarchy, they have to do what they got to do.
Is he very young?
Yeah, he's like 22 or something, I think.
Oh, because I think I saw a picture of him. I mean, I know I sound like a grandpa, but I feel like I saw a picture of him and he looks like a very little baby with tattoos.
Yes. Yeah,
that's him.
He has a child's face.
Oh,
and
not.
Look what you did to your parents' face.
But he's 22 and he looks much younger than that.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he's 22.
But hey, yo, abusing all those benzos?
Right.
He's going to look like little shit in about fucking 4 years.
Right.
It's so funny to me, though, like with this era of rapper where you're so aggressively, I'm just like, Lil Opioids is like the next thing. Like, why are we glamorizing Xanax like that? We're like, I'm Lil Xan. But I don't know if he takes them anymore or whatever. I think people are like,
that's what his name is, from Xanax?
Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so
simple. That's why it's X-A-N.
Simple.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're 19.
Also, don't you get to a point where it's like, if you're coming up with a rap name or an MC name or whatever, or even a band name, like, don't you think about Google and like hashtags and handles and how like Lil Xan could be, you're going to get swept up in all the Lils.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like washed away.
Or someone thinks it's Little and then they're
or
like,
Little
Xan is not coming up.
Exactly.
Little Z-A-N.
No. Don't you want something that is so unique that no one will ever, you know, mistype it or not be able to find you?
Right.
Not this guy.
Not Lil Xan.
That's what's
not
brilliant about the ASAP crew is putting that dollar sign in there.
Yeah, and then making your A's V's.
Yes.
Doing all that.
I do love that. Or the U is the V.
Yeah,
the V
yeah,
is
yeah.
the U.
Exactly.
Yeah. Traverges.
Yeah. The Vitch.
The what? Vruel.
Oh, right.
Well, yeah, so I've been a fan of Lil Xan since he said Tupac wasn't that good and then completely backtracked on that when he was cornered by what appeared to be like high school students.
Yeah. Well, you can't say that California is, you know, you can't be talking shit about Tupac when you're like a young
kid. I'm not agreeing with his opinion. I just like how transparently
But I love that like high school is like, what the fuck did you say? Because these videos are him like at a Del Taco, like addressing a crowd of angry teens. Like, the media misconstrued my words. I think Tupac is a legend. and they're like, that's right. And he's like,
like, please. Don't hurt me.
And then people were uploading videos of them like pressing him on the street where they're like, what you gonna say about Tupac? He's like, nah, I think he's a legend. He's like, that's right.
He's like the only rapper who like gets bullied out in public.
Yeah, well, he never claims to be a gangster or anything.
Right,
so
yeah.
Like, that's the other
interesting part of this new
generation of rappers where it's like, I just like to rhyme words and have that like opioid vocal fry all the time.
Yeah. And then he started a like beef with John Daly.
John Daly started it.
Right.
But, you know, he's the ultimate troll. So he clapped back in epic fashion.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Chick-fil-A in other food-related news. Chick-fil-A will allow you to live to your 100th birthday, apparently. that's just eating that once a week is all you need to do because a guy named Steven Bellissimo has been making weekly visits to his local Chick-fil-A. And when he came in for his 100th birthday, he was presented with free food for life.
Yeah.
Which I guess he was already receiving half off.
Yeah,
so.
Before that. So they were just like, fuck it. Let's just give him 100%. And he's like, now I have a reason to eat here every day.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, I get that it's a nice gesture. He's a regular customer. Apparently everyone in the store really likes him. But like, come on, 100 years old. Like, that doesn't feel like if you gave it to like a struggling college kid and we're like, look, man, the very least you can eat our morally questionable food. But for old Steve, Mr. Steve, as they call him. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he'll live to, this could be the secret to him living to like 103.
Yeah. I mean, if this is the rest of his life, hopefully he'll make it to like 6 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And just have a really good time.
Well, now he has something to live for, though. you guys that free Chick-fil-A.
It'd be really cool if they did that for, like, if they donated that amount of food to, like, an LGBT center.
Right.
To, you know, to make up for the fact that their, like, president is a homophobic monster.
Right.
Right.
But they, that won't happen. They're going to be like, well, we'll give this old man
free food. Hooray! That will probably kill
him. I'd imagine that eating Chick-fil-A, if he actually did start eating more Chick-fil-A at his age, that would probably accelerate his
Was all a ploy. Maybe they had it like charted out and they were like, we're taking a bath on this 50% off thing. So if we just go full free, he'll start eating too much of it and that'll be the end.
And then like when his brain starts to rot, they're like, we'll just deep fry you.
Yeah, right. Like you're gonna love these brain nuggets. I think the real honor though, if they could give him one, would be to open that place on Sunday.
Sundays. Ew.
He's like, what about Sundays? Oh, God. Fuck off, Steve Bellissimo.
Oh my God.
The Lord works in mysterious ways, guys. Ted Cruz was also eating recently. In Washington, D.C., yesterday, I think, went out with his wife, Heidi, or 2 days ago, and was greeted by a lot of protesters, a lot of people who don't appreciate them, Ted Cruz. And I think we have audio of them heckling him.
We believe survivors! We believe survivors! We believe survivors!
Beto is way hotter than you do.
Beto is way hotter than you, dude.
You know that crushed him probably a little bit. After that was that picture of him looking at a photo of Beto O'Rourke on his phone like yesterday.
Yeah.
Or the day before. Oh, man. I mean, this is what happens when you're out here giving Kavanaugh the craziest underhander questions. Like, I think he asked him something about how he coached his daughter's basketball team.
Aww.
Like, he used his time like other people were like, were you talking to these people? Did you ever lie to send? He's like, do you ever run the three-man weave?
Right.
Is that dated? How do you get to run the triangle offense? So I don't know. He has mastered the face of like when you're truly just being embarrassed or humiliated of like just putting on this like
the fakest smile.
Yeah.
Yeah. The most like pleasant, ugly face.
Right. Because he just looks like mayonnaise had a face.
Yes.
Right.
And the way he's able to just shut that off and then walk out. And the only time he got a little bit stuck his chest out is when a guy kind of got in his way when he was like him and his wife were trying to leave. He's like, please get out of my way, sir. And then went back to his like, you know, regularly scheduled program.
But I find that so refreshing. I'm like, give me a buttoned up Republican loser who puts on a quote brave face.
Right.
Right.
Like, excuse me. Like, give me that any day over the chaos of Trump.
Yeah, then like any the chest day. Out haters.
Yes.
Hate-filled maniacs. Yeah.
A Pence of Cheney. Give me that. I'll take that.
He was literally like the president of the debate society in high school and was like, I'm an evil nerd.
Who,
like,
Ted Cruz?
Ted Cruz, that was his jam.
Didn't his college roommate say like he's a monster or something?
Yeah, basically. Nobody has ever liked Ted Cruz.
No.
Who has known
Ted
Cruz.
Again, like as it should be, like let if politics could return to that, you know, it was like shitty losers in charge. I will take that any day over the chaos of what's going on now.
And people who are like actively have an agenda to like just tear everything down.
Right.
It's like, I'll be polite because I know the rules. But clearly, it's funny because he should know that all these top Republicans who have gone out to eat in D.C., depending on what kind of bullshit they kicked up, they're usually met with protesters because they're backing really shitty policies
Welcome
or
to the times.
Nominees.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, in his mind, he's really in that bubble where he's like, yeah, we can go out to eat.
Yeah,
even
let's
though,
do that.
Yeah, I'm like one of the most unpopular senators right now. But let's just have our cake and eat it too.
Right.
But Beto O'Rourke, he tweeted something. He's like, yo, this shouldn't happen, you know?
Right.
Just leave him alone, which is fine. I get it, Beto, but.
We get it. You're cool.
Yeah, you're cool. Fucking but I'm not running for Senate, so I'll boo this fucking man.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
And we're back. And the President of the United States was at the UN speaking to the UN General Assembly and just kind of blabbed on about all kinds of stuff that he likes to talk about, like North Korea, oil prices, his solution to the migrant crisis. And I think he literally suggested that the other people on the UN General Assembly make their countries great again.
Yeah.
And
he's basically like, why do they want to leave? Make it so they don't want to leave anyway.
Right.
And then you'll solve the crisis.
Right.
Because it's just that easy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was an odd couple of moments, that whole speech. And he got laughed at pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think within a minute or two, people were just laughing at him.
Well, I think they laughed because he said, we've done the best work of any... of basically any administration in history.
Right, right, right.
And it's like, he's literally like a fucking Willy Wonka character.
Yeah, no.
He talks like, what's that character's name? Like Prudius or like the little fat guy?
Adolphus?
Adolphus,
is that his name?
Yeah.
Adolphus?
Yeah. That's Trump. Just like being like, look at me, we did it.
Like, they're like, chocolate all over his face. Yes. Like, dude, get the fuck out of here.
Laughing at him.
Listen to, we have a clip of it just so you can kind of, it's funny. Have you seen the clip?
Like, yeah.
There's a moment when right after he says it, he's processing. He's like,
yes.
Oh, they hate me.
Right.
But anyway, here, let's listen to the whole clip.
My administration has accomplished more than almost any administration in the history of our country. America's so true.
so true.
Didn't expect that reaction, but that's okay.
That's amazing.
It's kind of, it was the one time I was kind of like, oh, he showed a human side for right. a second, where I thought normally he would just be like, yep, and that's what I said.
Right.
Applause break. Now moving on. But you could tell he was even like, eh, all yeah. right, yeah, it kind of took an L on that one.
Wow. That didn't go well.
Oh, so you guys read the news, huh? You got your newspapers? Didn't realize this was an informed audience.
There's also that part of his personality where, like, he loves to talk a big game on Twitter and when people aren't around, but, like, he doesn't like to fire people. He doesn't like to be disliked by people.
Right.
So if he's faced with people, you know, laughing in his face, which is, by the way, his biggest nightmare. That's, like, textbook, narcissistic...
Right.
Like personality disorder.
That is your nightmare.
Is your nightmare is people laughing at you. And then if you go through his speeches and just him talking in general, it's like, they're all laughing at us. Don't let them laugh at us. Mexico is laughing at us.
Oh, right. And then yeah. I think 4 years ago he tweeted, he's like, the president is a laughing stock.
The laughing
and
right.
like, wow, yeah. you foresaw your
own
future.
This country, people are laughing at our country. It's
right.
like, nah, dude, they're laughing at you.
Yeah, right. now it's him.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, just that moment, though, I could kind of tell... Like I said, he's in his bubble, and he right. really thought he could say some shit like that, and people would just be like,
uh-huh. yeah, yes. you have done it.
Talk
sir.
That shit, Donald.
Because like, he's not at a you know backyard rally or like a like
right.
a, but he's actually in front of people, and you hear he's literally so dumb that he has to fill the dead air by going, so true.
yeah.
So true.
While they laugh.
So true. Right.
Okay, that didn't go.
It's like the most, truly, like his brain can't even come up with anything more, slightly more sophisticated
right.
than so true.
I wonder
so
if,
true.
If Stephen Miller wrote that and then backstage he goes, you burned me, Miller.
Yeah, right.
I look like a goddamn fool out there.
Right. I was wondering, I was trying to think of the speechwriter writing that and thinking it was like a defiant statement.
Yes.
And then Trump gets it out there and is just like, yeah, everybody's going to agree with this. This is
right.
just a known fact.
It's like
that
you're
we're the
at the United Nations. You're not at a rally. You're at the United Nations.
Right.
And you're shitting on the term globalism in front of the United Nations.
Right.
You think people are going to take you seriously when you say, we've done better than any.
Yeah.
Almost any administration, then who are you referencing as who's done better than you?
George Draft? Washington. George Washington.
George Washington. Like, such an idiot.
Right.
Such a blithering idiot.
Oh, right.
Well, you know, I know the other part, too, was like when President Rouhani of Iran was also just taking shots when he went up there and he's like, oh, this guy's basically talking some Nazi shit now. And he's like, I don't need to talk to him. He's like, if he wants to negotiate, he's like, all his other friends, China, like France, like they still want to fuck with us because the other countries that are still in the Iran deal, like, no, it's working and we're not going to let like old President Porcini penis fuck the whole thing up. So triple P.
Porcini cock.
Yeah, they're holding steady. And it's sort of like one of these moments where he's like, you know, Rouhani was like, well, and all your friends like me. So what are you going to do?
Just all his worst nightmares.
Yeah, I got laughed at.
Speaking of laughter, Cosby was sentenced to 3 to 10 years and laughed, which was a weird response from him. And I don't know, it was a weird scene. They cleared the courtroom so that they could like cuff him and, you know, take off his suit jacket, and then his spokesperson came out and basically was like, what's going on in Washington today is part of that sex war that Judge O'Neill, who was Cosby's judge, along with his wife, are part of, and tied it to Kavanaugh. He also was like, Judge Kavanaugh is getting caught up in this sex war, which I'm sure the Republicans were like, no, we are not on Team Cosby here. Or maybe not. Maybe they were like, yeah, tell him, cause. But yeah.
It was... The whole thing, I know on CNN, someone, like a pundit, went and just, like, completely made that comparison, and the like, people on the right were like, how are they going to let him, let this person make this comparison? Which, I get that, you know, if you compare the two, what we know, sure, they're not comparable, but I think the point that this person was trying to make was, like, if you're so disgusted by sexual predators, why are you withholding that for, you know, someone who's a Supreme Court justice? But then on Fox, it was weird. When I clicked over to Fox, how they were talking about it, this one guy was like, oh, and he's going to go to one of those jails like you see in the movies. It's a very dangerous place. It's not a nice place with a lot of danger. Like, it was weird. Like, they were like almost celebrating. He's like, he might get killed and raped in prison. Like,
right.
And look, I get that this person, like, you know, he has to do his time. Justice has to be served. But the way they were almost gloating about it was really bizarre.
I don't know. Fox doesn't seem like they have any racial bias. If
yeah.
But oh, the, you think that has
But the way the guy was setting it up was really to, like, walk a viewer through, like, when he's like, it's like one of those ones in, like, movies right. out of a the, Hollywood
Fox
film.
News is like they're just, like, whispering to old people. Like, they're making things so simplistic, so dumb and easy to digest that it's literally like there's somebody on that show or whatever on that network at the time really need to be like, and the jail was wee scary
right, for
babies. They make right. like content for babies.
Ooh, with
old people
that steal and kill. Oh no,
it is. I mean, to me it's also nuts that we're coming up on the anniversary of Anita Hill's testimony is mm-hmm. coming up. And we're still at this point where it's like Cosby gets 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like
three to ten.
Three to
yeah.
ten. But even so, just him laughing,
yeah,
that in
right,
and of
right,
itself
right.
is pitiful. And that his spokesman is like even trying to tie it to
yeah.
Kavanaugh, and that Kavanaugh is standing strong. And
he said something like Christ was also persecuted, is what his
Christ.
Spokesperson said.
Yes,
I'm like, yeah,
Christ.
Very Christ-like
yeah.
to date rape people.
He said that this is the most racist and sexist trial in the history of the United States, which might lead one to believe that Bill Cosby's spokesperson cannot be trusted with American history or just rationality.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Cosby allegedly raped people of all different races,
right.
including
right.
a lesbian. So how right. sexist could he actually be? How right. sexist could it be?
Also, right. that spokesperson, is he just committing career suicide up there? You're like, that's probably gonna be the last time anyone's going to be like, I need that guy.
He Ooh. Might be one of those people who like has a single employer, you know, doesn't work for a lot of different people. And so Cosby going away is like not good
right.
for his career.
Because when we tried to look up Andrew Wyatt, we're like, the guy from Mike Snow, the
right.
band?
Yeah.
It's like a different Andrew Wyatt. So I don't know what his background is, but I don't think we'll be seeing much of him.
All right. Well, on to Cosby's co-defendant, according to a spokesperson, Brett Kavanaugh. He went on Fox News last night, along with his wife, to defend his honor, and he had a very specific point that he wanted to make and made it at least 17 times.
I think 22, actually.
22.
Yeah. I will give him credit because he didn't come off robotic at all.
No.
Or
no.
like he had no time. Well, I don't know. I'll let you decide if this sounds like a guy who's been drilled.
We are not repeating any of these.
Yeah.
These are just being played. These are cut together, his uses of this phrase.
Yeah, there's no repeats.
I am looking for a fair process, a process where I can defend my integrity. All I'm asking for is fairness and that I be heard in this process. All I'm asking for is a fair process where
Understood.
I can be heard. Again,
Understood.
Just asking for a fair process where I can be heard and I can defend my integrity. Again, I'm just asking for a fair process where I can be heard and defend my integrity. Fair process, let me be heard. Fair process, and listen to me. I want a fair process where I can defend my integrity. I want to be heard. A fair process. A fair process where I can defend my integrity. Process, fair process. Fair process, process, an opportunity to defend my integrity and have a fair process. A fair process.
So in terms of the process,
I just want a fair process.
I wish she's fucking
no.
Fair process where I can be heard, defend my
Was
integrity.
She trolling him?
I just want an opportunity, a fair process where I can.
So in terms of the process,
my integrity. This process, we're looking for a fair process where I can.
Yeah, that goes on and on. Yeah, I think he did say it about 17 times, 15 times, whatever the count is. But you know, luckily, Fox News can do whatever the party needs it to do. So they're like, for the first time ever, you have a Supreme Court nominee going up there and being like, hey, let me do a quick show real quick to try and like get your trust or something in a completely organic way. And it just, like you heard it, it sounds like here is the fucking thing you need to say over and over is they just want a fair process and you want to be heard and you want to defend your dignity. And that's it. And just really let them know that and then we'll get through this.
Other believable things he said was, when asked about like what he was like in high school and how, you know, he could have never done this, he said, "I was focused on trying to be number one in my class and being captain of the varsity basketball team, doing service projects and going to church."
Aw.
Yeah.
So cute.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, that's
but that
just...
means he's never done a crime before.
Right.
No yeah. criminal oh, has okay. no criminals are near churches.
Right.
No criminals.
Right. No are, sexual criminals no, are ever
no,
near
there's
churches.
No, you know what I mean? Like, that's what makes it even more eerie to me is that they have completely run out of like actual reasonable defenses of him. Everything has just been denial. And then these really bizarre things like, well, I was a virgin.
I was a virgin, yeah.
So I don't know how sex works or how to even assault
right.
someone.
Right.
Like, what? That has nothing to do with it. It's just, then, and you're just seeing it break down more and more. And even with like the doppelganger theory was being thrown around last week, like it makes me feel more and more. I'm like, there has to be some really dark shit behind this. Because
oh, yeah.
normally, like you said, you know, we've said before, if you're an innocent person, you would be like, please have the FBI
that's
investigate
the, that's
this.
That's the easiest response. If you were
right.
innocent and weren't somebody whose character was deeply flawed in
right.
a way that threatens the justice system, you know, for quote unquote a lifetime, then you would welcome an investigation
right.
into your background. You wouldn't be on Fox News, you know, pleading a quote, due process over and over
right.
and over
I just
again.
Want a fair process that doesn't involve an investigation.
Yeah.
Into
I also
what
love when people
happened.
Say, oh, you know, nobody's perfect. It's like, yeah, no, nobody's perfect. But somebody who is running to be a Supreme Court justice should be pretty damn close
yeah.
to it.
Or at least not have any criminal allegations against them.
Exactly.
The very least.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And yeah, again, I think what you're saying too is like, if this person is going to be like one of the physical embodiments of the law in this country,
he should be a pretty good person.
Yeah. Or to think like, hey, if I really respect the law, this there should be a
exactly.
fair process where a person who is the making the allegations can be heard. I can defend myself.
Yep, go
and
ahead.
We can find some form of truth around this.
Yes.
But when you just go, I was a virgin. I was never there. I have a calendar that says I didn't party ever in 1982. And it's like,
right.
none of these things are carry weight.
Yep.
Yeah. It's his insistence that he was like a full Catholic saint as a teenage boy just... It's so unconvincing, and it just leaves him open. Like, now people are just, like, looking at his yearbook and being
yearbook
like, oh,
thing
look
is
at...
so creepy.
Yeah.
That it had the name of a woman, I guess at that time, a girl from another school.
Yeah. yeah.
Just littered throughout their yearbook.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
alumnus.
Like disgusting. It's, yeah. like, so gross. Because you think about it, and it's like, you know, you forget all these people, you know, who are talking about this stuff, especially on the news and in politics, are adults. But you forget that, like, in high school... The walls of your world, the limitations and parameters of your world are pretty small.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't your world exists not far beyond your family and friends and school. And so in that capacity, like imagine I mean, she didn't know about that then apparently, but even knowing about it now, she's like someone was saying, I think a friend or somebody from the school was saying it's like sickening.
Yeah.
To think like my name was smeared all across your yearbook because
signed,
you thought I was a slut or something.
Right. And
right.
she signed that letter of like one of the women who was like, I think like he's an
I
honorable
stand with
guy.
Brett.
And then they're like, did you know about
did
this?
You
She's
see
like,
this?
Oh fuck, that's sickening.
Unreal,
yeah.
man.
Yeah, because it was, yeah, there was like a photo of 9 football players and it was like Renata alumni. And then on his actual little yearbook entry, it said it.
Right.
And
said
yeah.
alumnius.
Yeah, alumnius.
Which
I've never
I
heard
do
that.
Expect my.
Is that, isn't it
Supreme
just alum?
Court?
Is it just alumni or alumnus?
I don't know.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's why I had to Google it because I'm like, this guy can't, this has to be a typo.
It also brags about like having sex with women. It brags about puking the most at like beach week, drinking kegs of beer, which are all
again,
perfectly
like
average things for a privileged prep school kid to
right.
do. But again, stop fucking lying. You're
right.
You're making it much harder on yourself.
Well,
because
he even did in that interview, he's like, well, there were parties with beer, but in Maryland, the drinking age was 18
oh,
and the seniors
up.
Had it and they
up,
would
dude.
Drink.
Shut
and
up.
The seniors
yeah.
had it.
And were you like, what, the fucking
Yo.
Checking IDs, like, hey, let me see. No, just does this scan, dude? Does this scan? Let me scan this ID.
It's
no,
nuts.
The fuck out of here.
It's
yeah.
amazing, but again, it does suggest something about his makeup, like how his mind works, that he just can't. Like he has the, you know, on the clock guy who's just never done anything wrong in his life and right. is like fully inside the lines. And then there's this like release valve where he just yeah. like goes fucking crazy. And he's like, writes his friends, is like, don't tell anybody what right. happened this weekend.
Not even your wives.
Right. Exactly.
Why do you want to be this? Like, just exit.
Right.
Just yeah. exit before it blows up in your face. It already has.
But I think that's the difference, right? I think someone who had some integrity and was an actual judge would be like, this is too much.
Yes.
And
it's
I respect
so
the
bad
law.
For
this
his
is
family.
This is actually shameful what they're doing to this person.
And to the women who have to move out of their house, moving out and they have death threats. It's like, what are you thinking?
He's just acting like a sort of proper, neocon guy who's been in the system, like, and my fucking day will come. Just keep your head down, Brett, and you're going to be fucking Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh by any fucking means necessary, even if you have to say there's doppelgangers or to these canned responses on Fox.
People were pointing out that if they withdraw him or if he steps down, it will be somewhat deflating for conservatives, whereas if he gets voted down or if, something comes out in this and people feel like the conservative cause has been wronged, like that's better for getting people out in the midterms.
Yeah.
So it might be a thing where he's just being a good, Republican soldier. And
well, here's the thing, right? You think about so Chuck Grassley said that they're going to vote Friday morning
at 9:30.
Yeah. So after Dr. Ford and Brett Kavanaugh, give their testimony to the Senate on Thursday, the next day they will vote. That's the plan right now, which either means that their end game is so much about tilting the Supreme Court into the conservative direction that they're willing to just eat this election cycle. And they'll be like, fuck it, man. Like, we'll lose the fucking House, maybe the Senate, but we can at least perma-tilt the Supreme Court for right now. And I'm sure there's all kinds of math being weighed. It's like, because they're not going to be able to confirm anyone in time after. They're not going to have the power to do so. And that's, you never know. And if they're willing, it seems like they're willing to just do it like, we'll fucking burn up upon reentry into the atmosphere, as long as we can just stack the Supreme Court with one more conservative justice.
Right. They want to actually start the sex war.
Right.
Yeah. So Avenatti says he's got clients with a Kavanaugh story to tell. We're kind of waiting on him to elaborate, I guess, on that.
Yeah. I mean, Michael Avenatti, and I've been saying this, he's either the coolest dude ever or the biggest piece of shit ever.
Right.
And I don't know which one he is half the time. Half the time I'm like, yeah, give Trump that work. And other times I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up. Stop trying to make hashtag Basta work. Stop like his like whole self-worshipping like talk and how he's going to run for president. It's like, I'm the antidote to Trump. I'm like not feeling that. But
that was the point of no return for me when I was like, oh, you do not have a good sense of who you are and your role.
Yeah. My whole thing is like, just get messy. Do your part as just being the mess maker in chief. But yeah, now he's saying that he has clients with other allegations, like their own allegations and people that can corroborate this. He was on Chris Cuomo's show and he said, at this point, Chris, it's clients, plural. We're going to make a public disclosure within the next 48 hours of detailed allegations, as well as the identity of at least one of my clients relating to what she witnessed and experienced concerning Brett Kavanaugh and Mark Judge. And ultimately, we're going to let the American people decide who is telling the truth. And then Sunday, Avenatti did a screen grab of an email he sent to Mike Davis, who is the chief counsel for nominations of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and was sort of like, these are questions that you need to be asking Brett Kavanaugh. And if any of these are even remotely near true, I think it's very disturbing. Like, he put six questions to this. So these are questions that he says, as a starting point, Senate investigators should pose the following questions to Judge Kavanaugh without delay and provide the answers to the American people. One, did you ever target one or more women for sex or rape at a house party? Did you ever assist Mark Judge or others in doing so? Two, did you ever attend any house party during which a woman was gang raped or used for sex by multiple men? Three, did you ever witness a line of men outside of a bedroom at any house party where you understood a woman was in the bedroom being raped or taken advantage of? This goes on. And that's where I'm like, I don't know if I don't like that he's like teasing someone's like sexual abuse or their sexual assault story. Like, it's a cliffhanger to a fucking reality show.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, that's where I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? But then also I'm really concerned if this is even remotely true. I don't know what else needs to happen for people like Lisa Murkowski or Susan Collins or Jeff Flake to be like, nah, I'm out. I'm out. Can't do it anymore.
Yeah. And do you think that they think that people will lose interest if they confirm him, that people will stop looking into these stories? Because that's sort of Supreme Court justices, I feel like, the question of will he get on, won't he, get on. Like after that, after they're approved or voted onto the Supreme Court, people
sort of grin and bear it.
Yeah, we just sort of assume, okay, they're there now.
I don't know, but I feel like the energy is so like on the left, they're like, fuck this whole thing.
Yeah, no, this will never stop. If he gets onto the Supreme Court, he's going to be just an investigative journal magnet for the rest of
if Democrats can sort of tighten up the margins in the Senate and be like, hey, we have all this evidence. Mm-hmm. We're looking at vulnerable Republicans now. Are you ready to maybe look at impeaching this guy or whatever? Yeah. I have a feeling people won't let up. Yeah. I don't know.
It's hard to say. I mean, between like the surge of women running for office and winning.
Right.
And, you know, with everything that's happening now, like, I hope that that people are reactive enough, as they are at least, and bombastic enough online and in terms of like Twitter and Instagram. And if they're bombastic enough to, you know, show action to their words
and be
as outspoken by actually going out and voting or actually calling senators and making demands and actually doing the active work it takes to make change through group stuff,
mm-hmm. right.
through group mind. I hope so. I mean, it seems impossible now to, I don't know. Who knows? It seems impossible for something like Kavanaugh to make it through, and yet Trump is still the president of the United States,
right. yeah.
who bragged about being assaulting women.
Bragged. Yeah, right.
So I don't know how he's invincible, and then everybody else is not. I don't really understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This whole Kavanaugh confirmation process is just really
I think it was Republican women in maybe Florida, some tape that was around somewhere. I forget where it even came from, but they were being interviewed. It was like nine, I think, Republican women. And maybe they weren't even all Republican. They were just like nine, a bunch of women being interviewed about Kavanaugh. And all of them were like, you know what? Like, so he did something at a party. Boys will be boys. And they're just making these rancid excuses. And it's like, wait. Don't you have vaginas? Like, what's happening?
Yeah. Like, that's where like the culture war, and I think we said this the other day too, you've seen how hard is like how much we're polarized that now people are just so in their corners like, I'm gonna look at the version of this that I have to maintain my team and not be
put off by it. It's non-truth.
Yeah.
And self-delusion.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked before about how during the 2016 election in Colorado, there was a group called Women for Trump that became like sort of women, you know, support our president, we don't care. And they formed the day after the Access Hollywood tape because they were like, don't push your morality on us. So I think that is an actual part of, you know, the conversation that probably doesn't get put out there that much is conservative women do feel like...
I mean, it's very funny that they're like, how dare you tell us how to think about somebody who brags about sexual assault.
Right.
It's like... And by the way, let me tell you what you should do with the fetus in your body.
Right.
Yeah. You know, but don't you tell me what to think about Donald Trump bragging about assaulting women's genitalia. Yeah.
I'll believe what I want to, what
so
I need to.
Weird. Everyone's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just hope, you know, I honestly feel, I don't know if I feel bad, but I wonder what the actual vibe or consensus is among GOP women, like who are actually in the party, like who are in Congress or in the Senate, if they're like, God, like, I just want to blow this thing up, or if they're also fully have drank the Kool-Aid to that end. I mean, Susan Collins has shown half what resembles a heart. Lisa Murkowski has also somewhat, but I'm waiting for that moment where you hear them start to actually, you know, exercise a little bit of independence.
Well, for me,
maybe they just know that they have to hold the formation.
To me, it all just boils down to empathy versus money and empathy versus greed.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you know, that's a very simplistic way of looking at things, but it's like, to me, that's kind of how I see it. I see this like blockage of empathy by the, you know, hyper focus on greed and, you know, that Republican, fiscal conservatism, which is like, okay, that's fine, but in an era like this, how does this not move the needle for you, seeing that your country and your coworkers are all being led by somebody who is so corrupt and so rancid and so problematic and troublesome and toxic and infantile in everything that he does? Like, the list is so long at this point that you have to wonder how they don't want to blow things up. Right. How could you just sit there? How could you just like go along with it? You know, I don't know. I'm not in the government. I'm not in that, you know, that field, but I certainly don't think I could stand for, I certainly couldn't look at him every day or hear him every day and see everything trickle down so quickly
and into be attached the system. To that. Yeah.
But I think getting Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court is sort of the final it's the end goal of the whole Trump presidency.
The Bowser.
One of the whole conservative movement for the last 40 years of being like, how do we just get more conservative justices on there?
But in terms of grinning and bearing it, I think a lot of people just told themselves, well, as long as we get a Kavanaugh type or a Federalist Society stooge.
Which is outrageous because then it's like, so then what does offend you?
Right.
Yeah. What does offend you people? Because if you're the conservative core and you're all about morals and values, then what actually pushes you besides getting a judge on a court?
A person of color's happiness.
Yes.
That is offensive.
That's pretty much
it. I don't want people in the LGBTQ community to have rights.
I don't want gay people buying cakes.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't want people of color doing anything.
Nope. I don't want them canvassing. Even if they are running for office, I will call the police on them. It's like, crazy. Which happened to somebody over the weekend.
So. Lovely.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And the two guys that founded Instagram are leaving the company to just travel the world and be rich.
Yeah. I mean, this statement, when I read it, I'm like, damn, it must be nice to be 34 and have like sold a company for $1 billion. Like, what was that, 2010?
Yeah.
But they said, we're planning on leaving Instagram to explore our curiosity and creativity again. Building new things requires that we step back, understand what inspires us, and match that with what the world needs. That's what we plan to do. That sounds like partying a bunch or just being like, dude, I'm going to veg out on a fucking island. I'm going to do like blow from the fucking mountains of Bolivia and just be like, dude, what's the fucking next app?
What's the next big app?
What the fuck is it, dude? Is like someone with like fucking Apple Watches or some shit? I don't know, dude. Like, they burn their one good idea. They're just so panicked. Like, dude, I don't know if we can do the next one. But yeah, it's interesting because it seems like there's been a lot of exits from the Facebook family of like whether it's Facebook proper or the other companies that they own. And it sounds like a lot of it has to do with Mark Zuckerberg recently just getting so hands-on and like the meddling has been so much that it's pushed a lot of people out. So in Recode, they were saying that Zuckerberg reportedly ordered developers to throttle promotion of Instagram within the Facebook app, which dropped referrals by hundreds of thousands of users per week. And they also recently began removing labels noting whether a photo had come from Instagram, a decision that Systrom, one of the founders of Instagram, voiced his opposition to within the company. So it seems like maybe he was like, you guys are doing better than Facebook. Like, let's figure out how like we can even the scales again.
That's interesting.
And then someone from his inner circle was put in like a leadership position at Instagram too. And they're like, now you're just putting like your people in the company here. So
yeah,
I don't know. It seems like Instagram was working fine.
Right.
But I mean, who knows what they're, has there been like a reckoning or have we found out if there was any real troll campaigns on Instagram, on the gram?
I don't know.
I think it was probably all encompassing, but Facebook was probably the easiest one to like just proliferate all that kind of fake news and shit.
I still feel like Instagram is as, you know, popular as it is, it still has enough unique tools on the interface where I'm like, how could somebody like actually, you know, kind of feed propaganda or something through this app? Because for better or worse, it's a very, when you stop and step back and you're like, what the fuck is Instagram? It's like, it is so weird that it's like filtered photos that we're scrolling through and the sort of group mentality of what is now on Instagram where it's like, oh, it's a meme account or it's like an account where it's like, you know, just thirst traps or it's like a fitness account or whatever, or, you know, inspiration. It's like, it's so unique. Like the content on Instagram is so unique to the app that it feels like there's no real way to actually trick people outside of, you know, like booty shots or whatever.
Right.
How would you be able to infiltrate and actually influence me or somebody else?
It's probably through a meme account, because I know that that was one thing that you'd see on Facebook where like the really wacky right wing memes where it's like, what was it? Satan and Donald Trump or
And Hillary Clinton
arm wrestling for the fate of America.
Donald Trump arm wrestling, and then Hillary Clinton arm wrestling Jesus.
And that makes sense on Facebook because it's become like a graveyard for the elderly.
Right.
Where they're like, oh, they're like, you know, they're like on now, just like, oh, look at the, you know,
yeah,
I can press
pop
this
up
button and it's so easy.
Yeah.
And Instagram, it's still, even my mom, I'm like, you have to not post screenshots. Like, you can't just screenshot things and then post them.
Right.
And she's like, I don't know.
What does she screenshot?
Other things. I'm like, save a photo to your phone, post that, and she'll post a screenshot of something.
Of a photo that she took?
Yes. And then cut out like a head or something by accident. And I'm like, you also don't have to date the photos. Like, what are you? And I'm like, get off of Instagram.
It's like August 15th, 2018.
You don't have to do that. You're doing what the thing does for you.
Yeah, or it's like sort of learned behavior from like being in school at that age. Where
yes.
Like, and at the top, I will put my name, the date.
Well, I think it's learned from Facebook, which is why Facebook feels so archaic to me now.
Right.
Yeah. I know it's not archaic, but I associate it with like old people.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's definitely the fun of it has worn completely thin for me. I can't remember the last time I logged in.
But I wonder how much of it is just the format of Instagram being hard to game and how much of it is just the user base of Instagram being
more savvy.
Much savvier.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you just like can't.
Because if you saw some weird right wing meme bullshit, you're like, get off my feet.
Exactly. Right.
And it would be promoted and you're like,
in a really simple and almost strange way of saying it, it's like, Instagram is also is almost like too cool for propaganda.
Right.
It like it just is. It doesn't it wouldn't make sense there.
Yeah, or at the very least it's there but it's for someone it's for who's looking for it, you know what I mean?
People like, who are distinctly looking yeah. for Pepe shit.
Yeah, so if you're like full Keck army, you're going to be looking at your right-wing Instagram right. shit and on
but
the
you're
left,
not going to see like pictures of like shit. Steve Bannon doing like hot dogs or legs or whatever. Like right. it's never going to happen. Hot dogs. What is that? Right? Hot dog legs or whatever?
Wait, what is that?
When people will take a picture of like their thighs on the
oh,
beach.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're like, is it hot dogs or legs?
Right. I guess with Bannon, Steve it's like Bannon. A burrito or my ass.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but I do wonder how much of it is that Instagram is too cool for propaganda and how much of it is just that your Instagram is too cool for propaganda.
Well, I think it's too like, intentional, right? With what you follow on Instagram, it's you know what you're following, and the chances of other shit just popping up, it's only going to happen because someone you follow is posting it. Like, where in Facebook, there's shit on the sides, on the margins, mm-hmm. like news stories that are right. doing well. So there's a lot of extra information given to you.
And an old, on old person too. Already feels like they've conquered the world if they can figure out Facebook with all that stuff everywhere.
Right.
Right.
Columns and icons are like, well, look at what I can
I
do.
I made an event That's interesting. For my dog's birthday. Right.
Because the other big propaganda feeding tube on social media is YouTube. And YouTube right. is the same thing. It's just like fucking things everywhere. Yeah.
And you could be thinking like, yo, I'm watching this video of like Justice Souter talking about the end of democracy. And then also in the line, like the end of democracy, Alex Jones. You're like, wait, right. what the okay.
Well, yeah.
I'm curious.
Yeah. I wonder if it is just like the busyness and like clickbait titles that, you know.
Yeah. It's just there's less to be distracted for on Instagram. And like you said, you know, when you're seeing some shit that you don't, you're not looking for, because it'll say like, the fuck is it?
Yeah, it feels very sophisticated in that way. The idea that you can mute somebody is sophisticated.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it allows you to feel, I think, actually, or at least for me, like I feel, you know, my personality tethered to it in a way that is not, I'm not saying it's a good or a bad thing, but it just is. And Facebook, I'm like, what, mom, get you this, you know, stop.
Right,
you're just writing hello on somebody's page.
Right.
You know, write Aunt Leslie directly.
Yeah, your status update is just hello, Leslie.
Hi.
And then signed.
Yeah. Love, mom.
Yeah, I did want to talk real briefly about something weird on YouTube that I'm just kind of learning about. It's this media company, I guess, called Little Baby Bum. They have all these videos that have just like hundreds of millions and sometimes billions of
billions.
Views. Billions and billions. And they're hours-long videos. And what they are just really average to below average computer animations that are illustrating like nursery rhyme songs.
Okay.
Just like end to end. And basically I've realized that they're hypnotic for children to just like watch it and like hear the like songs. And you can basically just like turn a child off. It's like an off switch on a kid, basically.
Right.
And you just put them in front of this.
Suspended animation.
Yeah. And then it just like will loop over and over, like it'll play for however long you need it to play. And I think this is raising children now. Like, I think this is the future, like the way that we have debates over Sesame Street characters. Like, this is what our children's brains are going to be built out of, is these like middle of the road, shitty computer animations that are like, they were made by people who looked on YouTube and were like, oh, these are terrible. The quote from the creator is, we thought, why not combine our efforts and have a go? It can't be worse than what's on there already. Like, it was just
it's like a BuzzFeed lists,
right,
how they hit like, you know, max capacity. And now this person or this company was like, let's do the same thing with shitty animation for babies.
Right. And because of YouTube and like the way that that model works, because they were the first ones there, they just overwhelmed the whole thing. And so now it's just full up with all these really mediocre, and you know, Sesame Street is made by you know, people with masters and PhDs and like they like pay a lot of attention to brain development and shit like that. And this is just made by a married couple. Yeah. This is just made by a married couple who were like, oh man, we can make a lot of money off of this because there's not anything like this on YouTube.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, the 10-hour version.
Literally.
And you're like, what the fuck?
The first video they uploaded was Twinkle, twinkle, little star. And they have like one of the 10 or 15 most popular videos on YouTube, and it's just like a, you know, 50-minute version of Wheels on the Bus that just plays and plays.
Oh, it's not chopped and screwed, so just slow down. It's like, the
Wheels
on the Bus.
And it's got like 2-point-something billion views.
Wow.
It feels like it's, and I don't have any kids, but it feels like it's primed for like the parent who just has the iPad ready to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. I'm just saying it feels like perfectly suited for that type of parenting mode,
yeah,
which is a smart move.
Right. And yeah, I have no idea. I'm not going to say this is bad because I'm also not an expert on psychology and child development, but it does seem to be the thing that our toddlers basically are doing instead of Sesame Street and playing with toys is just like staring into a
Well, when you describe it like that,
mirror.
It is bad. Yeah. It sounds very scary. It's like, you know, Sesame Street, I was raised on Sesame Street and it was such an active show.
Right.
And so, like you said, so clearly thought out ahead of time by people who understood psychology and were framing things to look a certain way. And the format of the show was almost like SNL in the way that it went from a sketch to a live thing to a, you know, pre-recorded to a remote to a, you know, non-sketch thing. Like the tone was changing and it challenges your young brain to keep up.
Right.
This
right.
feels like a pacifier.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's just sort
exactly
of like everything.
Right.
Like everything's becoming more democratized and anyone can get in on it now. So with Instagram's like, oh, I'm actually, I guess with these filters in my phone, I can look, pretend I'm a photographer and be like, these are cool. And now with YouTube, it's like, I can fill a space that usually child development experts were in.
Right.
And I'm just, this is my asinine idea for kids stuff. Yeah. I don't know where this is going to go, but hey,
it's
all,
I mean,
kids.
It really is dependent upon the idea of like the screen, like how much a screen a kid or a baby could have access to or should have access to. And again, I have no kids, but I feel like I've heard friends who are teachers say something about kids not needing to see a screen for the first year or something?
2 years.
2 years?
They're now saying 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, and which is, I mean, to me, it's like, it seems about right.
Yeah.
It seems about right.
You
don't
want to get them started just going, like, mouth open,
just
staring.
Yeah.
And you're
like,
ooh, let's get a little more real
and
world
like,
stimulation.
From 5 months, they will, if they enter a room and there's a screen on, they will find that and just, like, stare into it.
Right.
Like, you really have to, like, work to keep them away because there's screens everywhere.
And now I hear my mom's voice, like, when I was a kid, and I will watch, like, an hour of TV. She's like,
TV
your brain is rotten.
Your brain's rotting, yeah.
Well, look at me now, Mom. But, yeah, what's funny, too, I was just reading an article, I feel like maybe in Variety or something, about how, like, now Disney and Netflix are going at each other to basically be the dominant force in child entertainment.
Mm-hmm, right.
Yeah.
Because that's the wave now where they're like, man, parents are just throwing their kids in front of Netflix on a loop, and it's better than YouTube because you're not going to get ads. You know what the fuck they're going to get. It's not going to suddenly turn into like weird like bondage cartoons with Spider-Man and like Shrek.
We can regulate.
Yeah.
And also if we have a sort of corporate responsibility, we can attempt to make programming that's challenging and active and you know, requires something from the viewer rather than just makes them, like you said, sit slack-jawed and just gaze onto a look at the light.
Yeah. And like Disney could probably, like they're saying Disney could pull the ultimate power move because they're like,
completely.
We have all the kids. I mean, 100%. We have all the worthwhile kids content, but Netflix just commands so much of the market that they're like, they're trying to see, like,
but
I wonder how this
Disney's
is going to play
launch.
Out.
Yeah, Disney has a direct-to-consumer video service that they'll, you know, like their own Netflix.
Yeah, Disney Play.
Yeah, Disney Play that'll launch and could very well just change the game completely.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's also a period between, you know, 1 and probably like 3 where they kids have no sense of quality. So like they'll watch this middle of the road shitty animation that somebody made on their home computer instead of a Pixar movie because it's just like,
wait, so what? But once they hit 4, they're like, this ain't Pixar.
Well, I mean, there must be a reason that Pixar movies are so good and do so well. Elliot, it's been a pleasure having you.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Where can people find you, follow you?
You can listen to my podcast, You're Making It Worse, on iTunes. or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And then everything else is at Elliot Glazer, and Broad City is obviously on TV and also on Hulu.
So good. Is there a tweet that you've been enjoying?
Yeah, Joni Marchenko, I think, is a producer, a famous producer, and she posted a picture of something that I think it was Markowski posted of her, like, I'm not going to even describe it the right way, but it was like her at like a potato festival or something, like autumnal, and was like, and she wrote something like, "Babe, look, I love potatoes just as much as you, but can you focus on like getting the vote, voting down Kavanaugh?" It was so funny. "Babe, I love potatoes too."
"Babe, I love potatoes."
I'm obviously paraphrasing, but the tone of the tweet was what killed me. "Babe, I love potatoes too." But
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. There are a couple tweets I like. One Okay, this one is from at Empy Real or Kyrie Irving, Secret Black Girlfriend. It says, "Rib condoms don't even taste like ribs." I don't know. I love ribs, so I felt your pain because they don't taste like ribs.
I know.
And then what else is there? Oh, yeah, this is from Natasha Rothwell. It says, "I feel like we're all in a super shitty escape room with really obvious clues like vote and believe women and don't put children in cages."
Those are great.
And that is at Natasha Rothwell.
I've been enjoying a tweet by C. Joyner, C-E-E-J-O-Y-N-E-R. "Ice-T should rap over an instrumental of Beyonce's Lemonade and call the album Arnold Palmer." And you can follow me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about, as well as the song we ride out on. You can also find that stuff in the information just on whatever app you're listening to this on. Just click into the episode information. Miles, what song are we going to ride out?
Well, before I tell you that, I want to remind people I'm on this week's Behind the Bastards. We're talking about Eric Prince. The first episode is up. I think the second one should be out on Thursday. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. Check
what'd
that out.
What I say
out.
About advertising?
Hey, podcast, man, this is what I got to do. Podcast. Also, check out my new potato salad brand I'm working on. anyway, so this track we're going to ride out on, we were talking about Lil Xan and his epic war with John Daly, where John Daly had so many teenagers in his mentions, and he was just dispatching them with grace and maturity. But then it got to the point where John Daly, he likes to make a joke song here and there. Obviously, we know about the Peppermint and his Red Hot Chili Peppers crew. Then he made a just like SoundCloud mumble rapper track under the alias Lil Xan's Dad. This is a clapback diss track to him. It's called "I'm Your Dad" by Lil Xan's
so
Dad.
So good. So it really does sound like SoundCloud rap.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
California. Ice Skittles out my pussy. Oh, shit. It was SoundCloud. Yeah, SoundCloud, my white poser. Yo, I'm a white poser. Yo, I'm Big Baby Aspen. Yo, aka John Daly. Yo, hey. Diplo's your stepdad. I'm your real dad. I'm your father. This place will catch me. Diplo, your stepdad. I'm your real dad. I'm your father. This place will catch me. Take your fast, I'm your dad. Take off my belt, make you sad. Take your bad, I'm your dad. Take off my belt, make you sad.
Bang, bang.
I'll make you sad, make you bad. Build a snowman with Josh Gad. Make you sad, make you bad. Build a snowman with Josh Gad.
John Daly.
Famous, not a feral. You got bird bones, no marrow. Drink your milk, eat your veggies, do your drinking milk. Eat your veggies, do your chores, mop the floors. Take your bed, I'm your dad. Take off my belt, make you sad. Take your bed, I'm your dad. Take off my belt, make you sad. I'm your dad. Give me a kiss, 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 give me a kiss. I'm your dad. Give me a kiss, 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 give me a kiss.
Happy Easter, everyone. All love. All love. All love.
King Cyrus King.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.